Have you ever heard the phrase shadow work and wondered what it was? Well, this is the episode for you. I'm going to spend some time talking about what is shadow work and how you can get started. But before I do that, I wanted to apologize about last week. Things happened that were beyond my control, and I'm not sure if I've mentioned it before, I can't remember, but this is a one-woman show. I do it all from the recording to the editing to the posting, you know, and maybe you could figure that out because I could do a whole lot better on marketing and social media. But yeah, I was a little down on myself that I did not deliver the episode last week as I had planned. Due to some issues that I had, and yeah, really felt bad, but I'm here this week, and I got inspired to talk about shadow work because my Archbishop, Ralph L. Dennis, he actually has been preaching and teaching on mental health and the importance of mental health in our church. And he did a Bible study last week where he talked about shadow work for our entire church. And it was an amazing lesson, but I was just over the moon happy that I'm a part of a church in the Baltimore, Maryland area, if you're looking, that is even addressing this, even addressing mental health, shadow work. Like, I've been in church pretty much my entire life, and especially in these last few years since I've been on this journey, I have become a pretty vocal mental health advocate in general, but very specifically for the Christian community, because I do want it to be normalized. I want people to be informed about the difference between spiritual counseling and therapy with a licensed professional and all of these things. And so he did such a great job of explaining it and the almost hour and a half Bible study that we had. And I posted about my excitement, and I had people who followed me on Facebook who asked me what it was. And I was like, hey, you know what? I mentioned it, but I haven't really done an episode dedicated to shadow work specifically. So I said I would do an episode. And I also said I would do an episode on spiritual bypassing, which I will probably do next week because I think they can often go hand in hand. And so here we go. So the phrase shadow work first is a psychological term that was popularized by Carl Jung. And he stated that the shadow is the unknown dark side of the personality. According to him, the shadow, in being instinctive and irrational, is prone to psychological projection in which a perceived personal inferiority is recognized as a perceived moral deficiency in someone else. Jung writes that if these projections remain hidden, the projection-making factor, the shadow archetype, then has a free hand and can realize its object, if it has one, or bring about some other situation characteristics of its power. These projections insulate and harm individuals by acting as a constantly thickening veil of illusion between the ego and the real world. That was a bit much, right? So let me go a little deeper. See, as I have understood it, which is, I imagine, why you're here, because I am not a psychologist, I'm not trained in all of that, but the thing about shadow work for me was about doing the work to dig up those things about myself, the personality traits that I tried to hide because they were deemed as bad by the quote unquote people, the world, society, as a child, more specifically, because I believe that although we all have gone through some certain traumas as adults, a lot of our personality, if not a good portion of it, was created during a time in our life where we had little control over what we learned, what we were exposed to, how we responded. It was about surviving, and for a lot of us, I look at shadow work as we repress certain things about ourselves, our personalities, because ultimately, in the midst of our parents having what most people would say is the hardest job in the world, because they're raising us, they're trying to teach us how to be good citizens and how to tie our shoes, how to clean our rooms, how to have manners, how to be kind individuals. They're guiding us along the road of life and making sure we get an education and all of these things. The other two things that they're teaching us is how do we get love and what can I do to avoid pain? I'll say that again. I truly believe that in the midst of all the things that our parents are doing, and I'm not even going to just say our parents, our village, the people that are in our lives, that are impacting our lives the most as children, that could be grandparents, that could be teachers, that could be somebody, you know, at church, that could be your cousins, that could be your friends, like all of these factors are coming into your life. And in the midst of everything that we're learning on the surface, in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, we're learning, what do we need to do to get loved, to be loved? And what do we need to do to avoid pain? And some of us, unfortunately, didn't get raised in healthy environments. So we've been carrying those lessons from unhealthy, toxic environments into our adulthood. And some of us maybe had better, but there are still parts of our shadow, because even if we had a great home life, there are things that just about the world and school, especially as Black people, like we and Black children, you know, are not allowed and not supposed to express anger or, you know, the way white kids are usually allowed in comparison to us. You know, we are constantly seen as older and, you know, than we are. We're not allowed to have the innocence of a child, and, you know, all of these things that play factors. And we grow up with these things, many of it unconscious. It informs what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about our relationships with other people, with the people that we love, with the people that love us. It informs how we interact with strangers, how we interact with classmates and, you know, our coworkers, our people at church, or just random people on the street. And it oftentimes, as we grow up, because typically this is not something that we talk about or think about in our families as children, I imagine that, you know, those of us who are healing are raising our children to be more aware than we might have been. But oftentimes we are not always aware of our shadow. Other people might be more aware of us, because the reality of it is that although it's subconscious, And you're doing these things unconsciously in the sense that you don't know why you do them. And so people may not understand why you do these things, but these quote unquote flaws, and I put them in quote in quotes because we often are judged, and we often judge ourselves for feeling this way, in these ways, and acting out in these ways. And so it becomes very important to try to gloss over them and put on a good face and put on a good persona and show up, because we learn how to show up in places. And some people, you know, it's easier than others because we learn how to mask early on as Black people, as church folk. We've seen our parents do it. And so we learn how to mask, except the mask has cracks in it. And people are hurt and angry and bitter. And if you have a faith and you go to church and you go to a Black church, you know the people who, and this is no shame at all, but the people who are constantly going up, and you can hear them and see just how broken hearted they might be, and they're crying, and you know, and they walk away with a little bit of pep in their step, and yet a week from now, or 2, 3, 4 weeks from now, they're back up there. And you know, we don't know if it's for the same thing, but it's like you can see the people who are just tired of the cycle and not knowing exactly what it is, and you're like begging God to take it from you, begging God to take it off your shoulders, take it off your plate. And shadow work was one of those things that I was seeking. I didn't know that I was seeking it in church. I didn't know what to call it. But when I started going to therapy and started really plugging into spiritual communities and communities that were teaching me about rituals and crystals, and they started talking about shadow work, I realized, like, for all the years, as much as I love God, as much as I love church, as much as I am so deeply committed to being Christ-like and you know, and living for God and living in my purpose and all of these things, shadow work was the thing that I was missing, because my spirit was always intact. It was my soul that was in turmoil. And so, again, not to say that church wasn't enough, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough in the sense, because we're so used to, you know, we're preaching about the sin and this and the other, and it's just like, y'all, people are struggling, and all it felt like is we just so concerned about judging them, but no one's wondering, why is that person having a whole bunch of sex? Why is that person out on that corner selling drugs? Why is that person so angry? What happened to that person that all they do is gossip and talk bad about people? We can just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And seemingly no one was addressing what is going on in the lives of these people, unless they make an appointment and say, hey, I want to get counseling, you know, but majority of the people probably don't do that. And they come to church, they get their fix. They get, you know, it's like a high. You get on your Sunday morning and you go and live your life, and by Tuesday, Wednesday, you remember, oh, it's still waiting for me. But you have no clue why and how you got there. You've just normalized the struggle. You've normalized the trauma. You've normalized the burdens that you bear. not realizing that it likely stems from trauma, childhood, or both. So the very, very first step in shadow work is to acknowledge your shadow. And then when you acknowledge that you have a shadow, I would say that you also need to work on not judging your shadow. Dare I say that you need to learn to embrace it? Because many of these shadow characteristics, if not all of them, were created in responses to negative things that happened to you because they are trying to protect you. But there comes a time in our lives that, as the quote says, that and the day came when the risk it took to remain tightly closed in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to bloom. And so I believe that if you're here and you question, like, what is shadow work? What is that? Or maybe you've never heard of it, but today you're listening and it's resonating with you, then I would dare say that you are likely at a place or close to that place where you're realizing that although your shadow was created to try to prevent pain and or created to find a way for you to be loved, that shadow is no longer serving you in the way that it once might have, and that it's causing you more pain than it is to hold on to them and not deal with them. And so, what do you do after you've acknowledged your shadow and you begin the work of embracing and befriending it? The next few steps is really up to you. I personally would highly suggest getting with a licensed therapist or someone who has a lot of experience guiding people through shadow work. Because again, a lot of it can be very unconscious, so you may not know where to start. Dr. LaPerla, who is the holistic psychologist on Instagram, she just released a book called How to Do the Work. She's amazing in that, again, she's trained psychologist, but she has a holistic approach to therapy and to wellness that she talks about while weaving in her personal story of healing and wellness and how she got to this place of creating the holistic psychologist and how you can use what she's learned in her process to do your own work. Journaling is great. If you are wanting to start doing this on your own, I would highly suggest of becoming aware of your triggers. And how do you do that? Well, listen to the people around you. Take note of when you lose it, fly off the handle, become completely angry, and when you sit down, you're honest with yourself in realizing that the response that you had was not in line with the offense. And if you truly are stuck and you are not aware of what those things are, I hope and pray that you have someone in your life. If you're not able to go to therapy, or you're questioning therapy, or having a hard time finding someone that you vibe with, I hope and pray that you have someone in your life that you trust and believe and will be honest with you to give you somewhere to start. Look, think of those times where someone else's happiness, as Tabitha Brown, Auntie Tab, said today, you know, those people who are triggered by other people's happiness. Think of those times where you may have completely wrote off someone, but you don't know anything about them except how they made you feel when they walked in a room because of how they present themselves or how they speak, even though they weren't rude. Or, you know, start to journal every day about your emotions and how you felt that day and how you process what happened to you in that day, and consider times in your childhood where someone maybe invalidated you or didn't listen to you or didn't help you to feel safe or wanted or loved. Do you find yourself jealous of people? Do you find yourself envious of them? What is that emotion trying to tell you? Do you believe that you're not worthy of love, or that you're not worthy to be treated in a specific way that is honorable and respectful to your being? Where did you learn that? For me, it was the unconscious belief that through therapy I was able to bring up, that the people who loved me wouldn't stay. And so therefore, I wasn't worthy of being loved. And that the only thing that kept people in my life was if they needed me. And honestly, truly, I didn't realize that that was an unconscious belief for me, and that it was informing my relationships romantically. So there was a pattern because of those beliefs and how I carried myself. And continue to be with men who are emotionally unavailable. Did things I didn't really want to do because I wanted to please them. Allowed them to take advantage of me because I thought need was security. And so by coming to that realization and that knowledge of myself, I then began to do the work where I was able to interrupt the patterns. And that would be the next step. Is once you're aware, it's not to be down on yourself or judge yourself. It's so that you have this knowledge. So now you can decide to do differently, live differently, be informed by your feelings, and choose a different way. And again, I will remind you, not to say that you can't do it by yourself, but we are people that are made for community. So if you don't have people, or you don't necessarily want to do it with some close friends, where you guys are holding each other accountable, get yourself a licensed therapist. Get yourself a certified coach. Get yourself someone who has been trained to do shadow work and to guide people through shadow work, so that way you can have that community to be able to do this work and interrupt those patterns. And then I would say that the last step really is to know that this is not a one-time deal. This is not A, B, C, D, E, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm fixed, I've done the work, finito. Because healing, as I say often, is a journey. It's not a destination. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't approach shadow work as this thing like I did, where you're like trying to get it all done in one go. Like, here it is. I've done this, this, that, and the other. Like, show yourself some grace. Show yourself some love and understanding, because it took you all these years for this shadow to be created, to be fortified. And not to say that it has to take you this same amount of years to do the work, but it's not a flip of the switch. There is no cure. There is no magic button that you push. It truly is a process. Enjoy the journey as much as possible. Remind yourself as often as you need that you are worth it, and that the other side of that particular thing that you might be working through, there's peace and there's joy. And once you do it once, won't say it gets easier to do it again, but now you have a foundation to stand on, to remind yourself that you're capable and that you're worth it. So the next time you do it and something comes up and you're like, ooh, that's new, I didn't realize that that was a trigger. And you go right on around the mulberry bush and do that shadow work. Love you guys. So thank you for joining me for this episode of the Radiant Sessions podcast. If you enjoyed this episode or any of the other episodes, I would request that you go to Apple iTunes, review the podcast, 5 stars if you love me, and make sure that you subscribe Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google, and make sure you hit up the website and see what I have over there. I have merch, t-shirts, mugs that are available for purchase. See you next week. Bye-bye.